D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. So at the end of yesterday's program, I don't know how we got on this subject, but I brought up the movie, the 2009 comedy film, Couples Retreat, and I had the apparently unpopular opinion that movie is really, really bad. And a lot of you ganged up on me, including some of you sitting here right now.
Rightfully so.
Not a good movie. So I went to Rotten Tomatoes, where the tomato meter gives Couples Retreat a 10%. It was critically panned. But you know what? It led to an idea. And as I said, this is our preseason two. So we're workshopping some ideas. So you let us know what you think about this one. 615-737-1025. This is a strained pun, but I'm going with it. Forget about Rotten Tomatoes. It's time for Rot Titan Tomatoes. Rot Titan Tomatoes. So here's what we're going to do. If you are familiar with the website Rotten Tomatoes, there are three grades a film can have. Certified fresh, critically acclaimed, just fresh, solid, and then, of course, rotten. Self-explanatory. So here's what I asked everybody to do. Pick three things from the game. One certified fresh, one rotten. And as an example, I will start. We'll go around and do our certified fresh selections first. My certified fresh for the game last night, the uniforms. I thought the uniforms looked spiffy as hell. A major upgrade over the previous uniform design. And I know that this is a touchy subject for a lot of you, but the Titans looked real good on the field, not in terms of actually playing the game, but you know, you look good, you feel good, right? So I think the Titans felt good because they looked real good. So certified fresh for me, the uniforms. I really liked the uniforms in action last night. Derek Mason, what was certified fresh for you?
Certified fresh was my man Joey Sly. 4-for-4 with a 58-yarder as his longest. That man got a leg, and it showed. So all that stuff before, you know, the game and during practice where he was missing, they're bringing in kickers. Joey Sly wanted to show you that he's certified fresh. Ain't no need to bring in no kickers. I'm the guy.
Willie, certified fresh for you last night.
I'm going to give a little shout out to J.C. Latham like I did in the Flash Me segment. His numbers were really solid. He got the shout out from his coach. And this is a starting point. He really got off to a horrible start last year because he got the injury. It set him back. There was all kinds of things that sort of dominoed his season. And so I think confidence is important for him, and I thought he started off with, on an easy test, for reference, he got an A-plus on an easy test. So to me, for at least one game, he's certified
fresh.
Fresh.
Connor Newt, certified,
well, certified rotten. No, certified fresh.
Certified rotten potatoes.
And don't forget about rotten potatoes. Connor, who was certified fresh for you last night?
Along similar lines, I'll go to the guy standing right next to J.C. Latham. Certified fresh for me would be Fernando Carmona, getting a lot of snaps with the first team. And I thought he looked solid in his first start as a Titan. Even though it's a preseason, he still made plays. He's violent out there, and I thought he looked solid blocking that right side at the guard position. So certified fresh for me would be Fernando Carmona.
All right, along those lines, my fresh, meaning solid, the offensive line as a whole, and specifically Fernando Carmona at right guard. I am encouraged by the fact that the rookie started with the first team offensive line and held his own quite well. So for me, fresh, not certified fresh, but just fresh, I'll go with the offensive line and specifically Fernando Carmona. Derek, fresh for you.
Fresh is the run game. I thought Tajay Spears had a really good run. I thought Pollard ran strong. We were talking about Pollard during the break. He's just a solid player, a good football player, guy you want to have on your team. And then obviously, Singleton got some snaps. But my man Julius Chestnut, he just keeps doing it, man. Y'all want to put him out to pass. Y'all want to kick him off the team. And he just shows up every time he gets an opportunity. So the running back room as a whole was fresh for me.
Willie, who was fresh for you?
I'm gonna single out Tajay Spears as my simply fresh. And number one, last year in the first game is when his season all went kaput because he got the bad high ankle sprain. He was not himself for several weeks, and he never really got going. I've gotten very realistic about him. And this is – everything's right. His career is riding on how he does this year. There's a scenario where he doesn't get another job after this. So this is truly the contract year. Are you going to get another job, whether it's here in Nashville or for another team? But every week he stays out there and is healthy, he at least gives himself a chance. And I thought he made some nice runs. He had the nice run where he spun off. It looked like almost like a practice play where you're waiting – let's blow the whistle here.
Ain't nobody tackling me.
Everybody stopped a little bit. No, he's still going. And you know, but it wasn't just that. Like he had a nice cut where he made a guy or two miss, which he's always been able to do. And he turned maybe a 1 yard gain or a no gain into about 6 or 7 yards down near the goal line. I liked how he played. So solid, not out of the craziness, but a Rotten Tomato rating of 75. Would that be fresh? 75?
I think fresh. Yeah. I think that would be certified fresh.
So we got to say 60.
So maybe I got to go down to 70?
I'll have to look at the grade scale.
65?
But
65?
We'll go with fresh.
Okay.
Connor, who is fresh for you?
I'll say the edge rusher room, specifically Jermaine Johnson and Femi Oladejo. Femi Oladejo had a highlight play. He had a tackle for loss. And it's easy to do that when you're a free rusher and basically no one is in front of you blocking. But still, it's good to see him having some momentum and showing some progress and how he fits into the scheme. Jermaine Johnson had a couple of pressures, didn't quite get to the quarterback for the sack, but still impacted the throw and impacted the offense as a whole. So specifically those two, but I felt like the edge rusher room in general was fresh. Not out of the moon, not incredibly, you know, blow you away, but they still did some good things out there.
According to Rotten Tomatoes, when at least 60% of reviews for a movie or TV show are positive, it is considered fresh.
Okay, 60.
When less than 60% of reviews for a movie or TV show are positive, it is considered rotten.
And how do you get the certified? 75 and above?
75 or higher.
Okay.
Certified.
Sorry, I got to go 65 to 70 for Tajay. Or, you know, all of us have to be in that range.
All right. Here comes the fun part. The rotten.
It's not fun for me. It's not fun for me to do this. I hate to do this.
It's a little fun for me.
Give somebody a rotten rating.
The secondary, rotten. Specifically, Cordell Flott, rotten. Now, here's what I love when this happens. I love when the eye test and the analytics just, you know, they just work together so well. Even if you suck at math, even if looking at an Excel spreadsheet makes you want to faint. I was going to say something else, but I didn't want it to be crude. You could watch Cordell Flott last night and be like, man, he did not look good for the Tennessee Titans. Let me tell you how poorly Cordell Flott played last night, according to Pro Football Focus. He was targeted 6 times. He allowed 6 catches. He allowed a total of 74 yards and a passer rating against of 118.1. And this was not Mac Jones. This was not Brock Purdy. This was Curtis Rourke. Trivia question, folks. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, do you know how many days it had been since Curtis Rourke played in a game?
It's been 2 years.
Well, I have the days.
Oh, days.
700 days?
Yes, about 700 days.
According to the San Francisco Chronicle on Thursday, Curtis Rourke played in his first game in 601 days. Dating to his senior season at Indiana, it had been 601 days since Curtis Rourke played in a football game, and he made Cordell Flott look like a turnstile. Bad. We talked about the secondary earlier this week. Cordell Flott specifically, rotten. Last night.
Well, the sentiment, I echo that sentiment because I mentioned this before the game, days before the game. And I just said, I'm going to put it in my back pocket. You know, it's practice and, you know, getting used to everything. So I'm going to put it in my back pocket. And then I watched what happened yesterday. And now, listen, the sky isn't falling. At least I don't think it is. But you went out there and played. It seemed like you played with no urgency. I know what you guys were doing was simple. But you still can be competitive even with a simple coverage. And I just didn't see, last night at least, I just didn't see a corner that was really out there competing. Now, again, it could have been how they were playing the defense. But even that, like, man, you got beat on the go route. If you feel after one or two catches, come up a little bit. You ain't got to sit back so far. Don't just give them the pitch and catch. Be aggressive with me, with the guy. And he wasn't. And when he was or tried to, the guy was just too big. And he out-muscled him. So to me, Cordell Flott, for this game, it was bad. It was bad. And I didn't want this to be true because I brought it up days before. But then you go out there and you watch that. You say, well, hopefully the next game is better. Hopefully, because Sol even said, I just did something simple. But even with the simple stuff, you got to be able to knock down some balls.
Taylor in Bellevue says the game should be called Flotten Tomatoes. That's
Flotten Tomatoes. Okay.
That's good. If he continues to play like that, it might be called
Flotten Tomatoes.
Better. That's why I'm not Chicken Little just yet. But again, I got my hand in my back pocket. It ain't out yet, but I'm reaching.
Willie, who was rotten last night?
Somebody has to say it. Cam Ward to get a Rotten Tomato
of course.
Rating on this one. This gives me no pleasure. Just like the teacher when he gives you the failing grade back. This gives me no pleasure.
Well, some teachers,
give you all this red
some
ink.
Teachers took pleasure. Some did.
You're probably right.
Especially in college.
And those were not my favorite teachers. But Cam, I still believe in you. But I can't give you a good grade on this. You got to go below 50 in the Rotten Tomato rating here. This was an easy test. This should have been a test that you passed with flying colors. And I have questions about his escapability, his ability to run effectively. I didn't see anything. He looked tentative. He didn't look explosive. And what we were looking for with in terms of he slimmed down to be quicker, I saw no evidence of that. He looked the same as he did last year, where one rusher who gets one arm on him either bothers him or takes him down. I want to see him blow through there and get bigger gains. And then the obvious misses that everybody's been talking about all day, where you've got, without scheme, it's a vanilla defense you're playing. The play's there. These are high percentage throws. He missed too many of those. We know that. And then a couple of decisions that could have been better. So all of that put together, look, he should be in there, and I know he is. Right in there, determined that this coming week will be better. And maybe that's a good thing in the long term. But in the meantime, I got to give him the Rotten Tomato rating. Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first. Cam Ward, the quarterback equivalent of Couples Retreat.
I don't know if I'd go 10% or one of the dozens of movies. There is a list on the internet if you really are bored of movies that got zero in the Rotten Tomatoes. Most of them you've never heard of.
Not quite that bad.
But Couples Retreat got 10%. I didn't think it was that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
It was. Connor.
You might need to rate one. Dude.
Yeah,
bring
I'm
going to
have to.
Get it up to an 11.
Exactly.
Who or what was rotten for you?
The quarterback equivalent of Couples Retreat would be my selection. One William Scrub Daddy Levis.
Oh, Scrub Daddy.
This was his one chance to get out there and prove that he has some value. And somehow he managed to come up short. I mean, the one play where, in his defense, he got hit, but he launches it into triple coverage to Bryce Oliver. What are we doing? And then he had another play where Xavier Restrepo is coming across the slant in the middle, overthrows him by about 10 yards. It was unbelievable. And the fact that he got as much run as he did, I understand you're trying to maximize the value for him and see if someone is willing to trade into his contract. That ain't going to happen now. He's probably going to be cut before the season starts at this point. He has regressed and regressed and regressed. And to quote Willie, it gives me no pleasure because he was my boy in 2021 on my Kentucky team. But he has regressed since then. I'm not even sure he's an NFL quarterback at this point.
Can I give an honorable mention? You're going to love this one. Okay. You're going to love it. Y'all right. going to love it.
Okay.
My honorable mention.
For what?
For fresh.
For fresh. Just solid.
For fresh. Just solid. My man Restrepo. He keeps doing it. He almost had a one-hand catch. If you put it on him, Hendon Hooker, that's another catch. My man Restrepo is just doing it. Y'all going to put some speck on his name. So he's my honorable mention, fresh.
All right. I was waiting for someone to mention Xavier Restrepo. We made it to 517 without a single mention of Xavier Restrepo. I would have taken the under on that. 615-737-1025. We're workshopping this. If you like rotten tomatoes, again, a strained
or
pun.
Flattened tomatoes.
Or flattened tomatoes, as Taylor suggested, let us know. 615-737-1025. We may make it part of our Reaction Monday, or in this case, Friday, rotation. 615-737-1025. It is Friday. So if you have a question for Derek Mason about the game, we can do a Titans preseason edition of Ask D. Mace coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It is Friday, and that's when we do Ask D-Mace. So let's do a Titans preseason edition of Ask D-Mace, 615-737-1025. This is not for D-Mace, but this was a funny comment from Mitch in Bellevue. Using some terms popularized on Robbie and Rex Road, Mitch in Bellevue says, "I was a what are you doing? But after last night, I need to be locked up with Jared from Spring Hill in the psych ward because this team has finally driven me insane."
I suggest you just, for the next couple of days, just stay away from Twitter or X, whatever they call it, social media. Don't watch the Titans. Just let yourself calm down. And hopefully by, what, next Thursday when they play? This Thursday coming up?
They play next Sunday.
Oh, they play so you have a whole – just relax.
So next week they practice open to media. Mm-hmm. They practice Monday and Wednesday and Friday. And next Friday, a week from today, joint practices with the gulp, defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Hopefully Cordell Flott will not be matched up against Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Open tomorrow too.
Open tomorrow media. As well. Okay.
Yeah. So just take a break on the Titans, I suggest, because we don't want you to be in the psych ward, man.
I would rather you watch Couples Retreat than think about the Titans, and that's saying something. That is saying something. Willie, you have a question flagged for Ask D-Mace.
Yeah, I got one earlier today, and this was texted to me to pass along to D-Mace from Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And this is somebody that knows some football here. You've got a long time mm-hmm. to sit on this game last night. Mm-hmm. And like we maybe brought up earlier in the show, maybe that's a good thing for Robert Saleh to come in and say, all right, guys, we won the game. There are some good things, but look at all these things we can get better at. But you've got a lot of hot days coming up. We know how temperatures are right now. It's brutal. In your plant, you got to go. You just had this jazzed up practice where everybody's jacked up to play somebody in another uniform, and then you had the first game and you don't play again until Sunday. You got some big work ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You got Seattle coming into town, but you got a while. Like, this could be a really, really important week
yes.
of practice. What are those dog days like?
They're rough, especially after an outing that the Titans had yesterday, particularly on offense, because what you want to do is you want to get back on the field and do your corrections and sort of get yourself back in rhythm. But these are the days where now this is why I talk about, like, okay, it's good to see you in shorts and running around, and actually it's good to see you the first day of pads, but I want to see you that week and a half after all of that, when it's getting hotter and you're sore, and you're worn down, and you're being tested mentally. Those are what make and breaks teams. Those moments. because you don't get those moments anymore. Even during the season, as long as the season is, it's not as grueling as that camp, or at least it used to be. That's the caveat, yeah. What I was used to. But those days, you had to mentally have yourself in the right space each and every time you walked out on the field, because your body's tired. There's a lot of information being thrown at you. And sometimes I think coaches do it on purpose. They put you out there in the heat. They throw things at you because they want to see how you adapt to the situation. Are you comfortable living in the fire? If you're not comfortable living in the fire, because that's what those dog days are. And it's not many of them. It's like a week. Because then after that, it's more, okay, the closer we get through training camp, it's like, okay, now we're getting closer and closer to the game plan for the team we're going to play. But that week and a half, like it's coming up for the Titans, this is where they're going to grow as a team if they're going to grow any.
Let's go to Jason on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jason, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. D-Mace, I'll throw this question in at the end of my synopsis here. It's mm-hmm. going to be a hard one. I'm a big fan of you, by the way.
Thank you.
And I hate to ask this question later on, but this is the recipe, guys. When they drafted him, I called in, I talked to you guys, and I was like, oh, no. We should have traded. We should have taken that trade with the Giants. And I mean, we only won three games. We'd have been picking high in the draft, and we'd have had a better opportunity at a higher quality quarterback coming out of this last year. But this is what we've seen so far. We've seen a quarterback who's 6 foot, 6 foot one, which isn't the end of the world. Drew made it work, but the reason why he was able to make it work down in New Orleans was he was accurate. The most important thing you need of a franchise quarterback is accuracy. Football's played 10 yards and in. I mean, most of the time, to have a big arm, great. If you need a 70-yard throw at the end of the game, yeah, we would like a quarterback to be able to do that. But most time, we've got to hit those dink and dunks, and we've got to be able to do it 9.9 times out of 10. This is the problem that he has. He's short. He's got small hands, and now we all know, since we've watched him a year or more, he's not mobile. And I guarantee you the Titan organization thought they were getting a mobile quarterback when they drafted him. But he's not. He's not that guy. So now you've got 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", defensive linemen and offensive linemen that are blocking for him, and it's just geometric angles. The closer they get to him, the taller they become. Now he's got to try to find a lane between helmets and hands to try to hit slant routes and crossing routes across the middle if they get too close to him, if he can't get out of the pocket and or move. And we've already saw that that's almost impossible for him with his speed. So he's not hitting. He's got small hands. He's short. He's not fast. And most importantly, he's not accurate. And that's the key right there. And that it, take all of those things as an ingredient, throwing them into a big pot of stew. This is my question, D-Mace. Knowing what we know now and seeing what we've seen now, do you think those are ingredients that qualify him as a number one starting NFL quarterback in the league? It's a hard question. I'm sorry, and I know if you want to divert and not answer it, that's okay. But in my mind, my opinion, he's not even remotely close. Mm-hmm. And I'll hang up and I'll listen, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. I mean, and everybody has their opinion or will have their opinion on Cam Ward. Hand size, everything else, I don't think that was a big talking point. And I could be wrong. I don't know if the hand size was a big talking point, him coming out. But you are right from the standpoint of he has to be more accurate. We said that last year. It reared its head at times in the game yesterday. I can on one side say, hey, listen, he's still getting used to a few receivers. One's 5'8", the other one's 6'2". So you got to know who you're throwing to. But listen, at this point, people don't want to hear the excuses. They just want to hear they just want to see production. They want to see you develop as a quarterback. So you're right. He needs to become more accurate. And if you've listened to me on the radio anytime, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you when you're doing good, and I'm going to tell you when you're doing bad, regardless of if I don't like it or not, but it's going to tell you what I'm seeing. You're right. He needs to get better at those things. And if he doesn't, he's not going to be a quarterback very long in this league, at least not for the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, I'm not saying anything that the caller said was, you know, downright wrong or not a good assessment. But Cam has to get better and just take into account, hey, listen, he's let him feel out who he's throwing to. Because I thought last year it looked a certain way at the beginning, but then toward the end, in the middle, from the middle to the end, it looked a lot different than what it did in the beginning of the season. So now he's taking a step back, or at least that's what we've seen in the first game. I just need him to now take another step, take that step forward and continue to take steps forward. It doesn't need to be a big step. It could be a small one. But in no way am I saying that what the caller said is completely wrong, because he made some good points, and Cam has to get better.
One person says, all the pasty, pale indoor cats with zero athletic ability and less IQ to talk about it are having a day today, and I've never seen Adam happier. I mean, I can assure you I have been happier in my life than talking about Cam Ward struggling in a preseason game. But I'm not sure where this person is getting the idea that I'm gleeful about Cam Ward struggling. I have my concerns about Cam Ward, too. I am not a quarterback expert by any stretch of the imagination. You know me. I skew towards analytics, and it helps me understand the game. And by almost every meaningful measure, Cam Ward was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL last season. I also understand that context is important. It was not a great environment for Cam Ward. The coaching staff was inexperienced. The pass catching options were also inexperienced. He didn't have any top flight receivers last year. So I understand that context is important, but I'm certainly not here celebrating Cam Ward's demise. I'm not sure where that person gets that idea, but I share a lot of the concerns.
I think
that
it's
Derek
because
has.
You do have that feeling for Bill Belichick and North Carolina.
Well,
this guy's been doing this all day. Don't feel bad.
That's
literally all. No, I'm not even kidding. He was on Next Man Up's chat doing that to me and Jake as well for saying the same thing. So,
well, yes,
I can't please everybody,
but it might be true in the case of North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
it definitely is.
He's a Cam do.
Absolutely.
So you're getting thrown into a bigger bucket here.
I suppose so.
So let's, you know, nobody's happy about where it went, right? Nobody's walking in as they get back home with a, hey, man, we were awesome last night. Like, so, and I can remember some disastrous preseason games for Steve McNair when he was young. He got through it. He survived. He grew up. We know what he did. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Your recollection, when you had a bad preseason game, or even a bad practice, like, what are the conversations like when you go in the next day? Talking, especially with your quarterback, with other receivers, with your coaches. Like, what is that like when you're coming in going, nobody's happy about this. We got to be better.
I think first thing you want to do, or first thing we would do is, what things went wrong and how do we correct them? Because we'd always have after film, we would always have a walkthrough, corrections. We called them corrections. Things that didn't go right on in games, we watched them on the film and we critiqued them on the film. Then we go out and we walk through our corrections and make sure, okay, because this is not the only time we're going to run these plays, and that's not the only time we're going to see that type of defense. So we want to make sure that we correct ourselves out on the field. But I think, because at least the teams I've been on, we all were walking in the same direction. We all wanted that one goal. And there was no, oh, this person's thinking about himself over there. No, we all were, if we did bad, we wanted to find out how do we correct that fast enough. So going into meeting rooms, it was a sense where just be held accountable for what you're doing, you know. And we're grown men in here, and if you did something wrong on the field, you need to correct it. And if it continues to happen, then you're going to continue to sit on the bench after that. It wasn't like those things were not, you know, we went into meetings and guys voiced their opinions about certain things, and quarterback said we needed to say if a play was off, if we all were in the same room. Because sometimes when we, after games, we all come in the room together as an offense. We kind of watch, and everybody's in their little silos in the room. So the tight ends court, the tight ends coach is talking to his tight ends as the play is going, receivers coach, and then you have the running backs coach. But then the coordinator is telling everybody, like, these are the things, and as well as the quarterback. So you get a lot out of stuff like that. You just hope that, you know, after you went over the film, went back out on the field, you hope that those things don't continue to happen. But if they continue to happen, then, listen, either you're a bad team or we got to make some changes.
615-737-1025. The Titans are back on the practice field tomorrow, Connor, right?
Indeed.
Tomorrow, Monday, Wednesday, at least open to reporters on Monday and Wednesday. And then joint practice with the defending Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, 1 week from today. 615-737-1025 will wrap up the week and the show. Coming up next, Billy Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, wrapping up the week. And just be careful out there this weekend, guys, because there is an extreme heat advisory in effect through Sunday evening. Temperatures could feel up to 110 degrees during the hottest part of the day.
Embrace it!
Each day. No, do not!
You must embrace it!
No. When I was in high school, I had some odd jobs when I was in high school. And one of those jobs was I worked in the catering department of a country club. So part of my job was to set up and bus tables and all of that stuff for events at the country club, parties and whatnot. And whenever I wanted to get a break, I would always volunteer to get something out of the walk-in freezer. And I would stand in there for like 5 minutes. So if you can find a walk-in freezer this weekend, I highly suggest you walk inside because it's going to be nasty out there.
Like Willie said, embrace it. Embrace it.
And can we just have embrace a moment it. About Purple Rain?
Yes. Connor, did you see it?
See what now?
Purple Rain. Have you seen Purple Rain?
I have seen parts of it.
Oh, you got to see the whole thing.
Yes.
You got to buy into the whole thing. It's a great movie. Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's a great album.
It's a great album.
Top to bottom.
Great movie.
And also, I'm going to take you on a walk down memory lane.
Okay. Ooh.
At the old junior high dances.
Uh-huh.
If you get the slow dance.
I love those dances.
Slow dance with Purple Rain. That is the song. If you have the partner you're hoping to
That's
get.
A big if. Or they throw on some Luther. Throw on some Luther Vandross. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the length of Purple Rain is going
to
keep you
That got you,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you got the right partner, it's jackpot, baby.
It's like that girl you've been liking. It's like, oh, yeah. Yes, it's coming on.
Like, you hear that, you know, that intro, Prince on the guitar, that little... Purple Rain. You got to get to your partner quick.
That's a
long song.
You're going to hustle then to get that long song. You're set.
I'm trying to think of what my Purple Rain dance equivalent would have been. It's a good question.
Mine was Ed Sheeran.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that song called again?
What was it? When your legs don't work like they used to be.
Oh, Thinking Out Loud,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Thinking Out Loud.
Thinking Out Loud. I think that's right. It was definitely an R&B song for me. Maybe some Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Maybe a little Brian. No, you know what it was? I know what it was. Casey and JoJo, All My Life. That was...
All my life.
I pray for someone like you.
There you go.
I'm seeing a future musical theme here. Slow jams.
I just imagine
slow
Adam
dance
in like all white on a beach, just like putting his hands out to the camera. Wind
all
blowing.
All white on the beach. That is...
Are we talking about today's Adam or back then?
Back then, hair full of hair, or head full of hair.
Flow
like is going.
In the ocean Boys breeze. To men, water runs dry.
Oh, man.
I
as
know
long
what
as
I,
you had to flow.
I know what I'm listening to on my way home, other than the six. Is the six coming up? Connor Newt?
The six is coming up.
Okay. Yeah, it's coming up pretty soon.
He's on the horn right
about
now.
14
He's got a very
minutes.
Important phone call he's taking. Probably in regards to the six.
Maybe during the break I'll play some KC and JoJo on my way home.
Sorry, I was on the phone. What was the question?
What's coming up on the 6?
Oh, you know, more of everything we've been talking about today.
Who's your guest host?
Christian Skelton.
All right, bye. Christian.
All right. That should be, I'm missing on my way home.
One texter says, don't lie, Adam, it was My Pony by Genuine. Well, that's a different kind of slow dance. That's a different kind of slow dance.
That's when you
jam.
Get home.
Yeah.
Yes, that's...
pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Distinction.
Yeah.
Adams was White Nerdy by Weird Al Yankovic.
Hey, don't talk about Weird Al now. Come on now. He had some hits.
That's a good song. That's a great song.
All right. So Jeff prefaces this text by saying, I was hurrying. Sorry for the misspellings. Mm-hmm. So I am going to attempt to clean it up. Let's see how well I do. Some Titans personnel and other media people believed they had to take Cam Ward with a top pick because they believed he could be molded into a top quarterback in the league. Still waiting to see what those people saw. The top pick is to take the best value to build your team with that pick. How many years does another miss on the quarterback set back this organization if Ward doesn't meet expectations?
I mean, you set your organization back, I think, a few years. In today's football, I think there are more quarterbacks coming out. Now, there's only so few that are those, you know, elite quarterbacks that you're going to draft. But I think, you know, just about every draft has at least one guy that you feel you can build your, you know, organization around. 2 years ago, last year was Cam Ward, and the Titans chose to draft him first overall. But when you make a big commitment on a guy like that, you know, when it doesn't work out, especially when you try to hold on to him too long, I do believe at times you can set your franchise back, but it all depends on how you're building your franchise around your quarterback. If you're building your franchise around your quarterback solid, then I think you won't spend too much. Even if it doesn't work out, I think you still will see some good football, because they did it with when they brought in Ryan Tannehill. And it wasn't working out, so eventually they put Ryan Tannehill. That team was ready to win.
Boy, think about how that move saved the franchise.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, does it set you back? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The reality is, it happens a lot. I don't know if it happens more times than you hit it, but more or less, I think the number of times you want this certain quarterback to hits, is less than 50%. You go through the history of the Titans. For every Steve McNair, and Ryan Tannehill was a success story, you have a Vince Young, a mixed bag. You have, you know,
Jake Locker,
which is, it never really happened with him. Will Levis, we know what happened there. And now you
Zach Mettenberger, so on.
Well, yeah, I mean, he wasn't even ever deemed the guy,
true,
right?
True.
But Mariota is a great example of a guy that wasn't awful. Mm-hmm. Right, but he just never quite blossomed. Mm-hmm. But they got the mulligan, or they got the save, because Tannehill saved them.
And they built a good team around him.
So it just can go so many different ways. So the reality is, if you're just sitting there and putting all your chips in, well, Cam Ward, he's going to make it. Mm-hmm. He's the first pick in the draft. He's going to keep going forward. That's a good belief to have, but you have to be able to maneuver with it if it goes off the path. Which, after last night, you got to say, look, this is no sure thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you have to build as you're when you draft your quarterback, you have to build, you know, so right after you have to, or you have to be building around that prospect you have at quarterback. Because if it doesn't work out, you still want to be in a place as a team where if you have to bring in a veteran quarterback and then draft a rookie quarterback to let him sit for a minute, your team can continue to win football games. And again, the perfect example was Ryan Tannehill. Marcus Mariota wasn't horrible, but he wasn't the guy that they thought could lead their team to a Super Bowl. But what they were doing in the process is drafting Kevin Byard, getting Derrick Henry, having Jarrell Casey still there, and then drafting other guys around him. And once they finally got that quarterback in, it didn't take them, you know, a year to get going. Hell, as soon as they put Ryan Tannehill in there, they got going. and they were a winning team. So you're right, it can set you back, but it depends on how you're building your team around your quarterback.
Very quickly, let's go to Don on our phone line. Don, thank you for calling. Quickly, go ahead.
Okay, it's John. Hey,
sorry, John.
I just want to admire y'all for at 5:30 going off the rails. It's pretty damn cool.
Thank you, John. We tend to go off the rails on this program.
We go off the rails, especially like right around this time. We may go off the rails every now and then.
The go off the rails also had me flash back to another example of what we're talking about. When Vince Young went off the rails at the beginning of 2008, after we referenced this season yesterday, they won some games in 2007 and made the playoffs with Vince Young in his second year, but he really took a step back. He wasn't playing very well. And there were some big questions about what's going on. But Vince Young was Bud Adams' guy, right? And he had this prolific college career. He was the rookie of the year, so he had done some things, but he wasn't getting a lot better. And then he went off the rails after the first game of the 2008 season, but who was the savior? First of all, like you said, they had a good team around. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get set back, and they had Kerry Collins, who bailed them out and had a really good season. They went 13-3. They went 10-0 to start the season. But that was good roster building. I'm not saying that Mitch Trubisky is Kerry Collins, but you just have to be prepared for just about anything. Now, I don't think Cam mentally is going to have the issues that Vince Young had, but he's got his own set of challenges that they're trying to figure out if he can navigate through and get better.
One texter says, this message is for Will Levis. Please help your own trade ability and do better in the next preseason game. You hear that, Scrub Daddy?
Why you got people
please
calling
play
that man
well
Scrub
so
Daddy?
We can get you somewhere else.
Look, isn't there a Scrub Mommy too?
We're not going there. Look, I may,
that's a question.
It's
5:54. We're almost out of here for the weekend.
I may only have a couple of weeks to call him Scrub Daddy, so I'm going to do it while I still can.
Okay.
But that will do it for us today and for the week. We had a wonderful time with you. Hopefully you had a wonderful time with us. We will be back on Monday at 3 p.m. as we continue breaking down the Titans preseason, practice tomorrow, practice Monday, practice Wednesday, joint practice with the Seahawks next Friday. We'll be at those practices. We'll break it all down for you. Have a wonderful weekend. Please, please, please. I know these two say embrace this 115-degree weather.
Embrace it.
But be careful out there. It's hot. Take care of your little ones, your pets, your old ones.
Drink a lot of water.
Drink a lot of water. We'll talk to you Monday at 3.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We're back on these airways starting Monday to talk about the Titans and their past preseason game, their practice over the weekend, and then obviously Monday's practice. But as I always say, we're going to be talking and
you're going to be listening.
The six is next. Drink a lot of water. Stay out of the heat, but embrace it. Peace.
Scrub Daddy.